Hi, this is Kim Catola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Catola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode, this program version of Cradle My Heart Radio. It is a joy to have you with us tonight here on the tail end of a Valentine's Day weekend. And I don't know if you were able to celebrate the holiday, if you have a romantic love relationship going in your life. I like Valentine's Day, and I know it can be a difficult holiday if you don't have a romantic relationship or a marriage going in your life. Hopefully you have a romantic marriage. that would be probably the ideal. But I think it's a holiday that's centered in joy, and one that I just like Valentine's Day. I can remember as a kid, my dad used to bring home, yes, a heart-shaped box of chocolates for my mom. And I don't know that they did much more than that to celebrate, but he made it special by the way that he carried that out. And I think he probably brought some smaller boxes of chocolates for us kids. We were always clamoring for sweets anyway, and he would always be the one that would comply. So I have very pleasant memories of Valentine's being a special day, but not over the top. You know, it wasn't it didn't require grand romantic gestures. It was just sweet and special. And so I hope that Valentine's Day for you this year was in some way sweet and special. I have a friend who put a posting on Facebook saying that, you know, he tries to make every day in his marriage sweet and special. And I hope we all do. I hope we all do. And I think that, you know, sometimes, gosh, when do we start seeing the Valentine display? December 26th in the stores, right? I mean, consumerism creeps in everywhere, but hopefully it's been a romantic and sweet weekend for you, if there is a special someone in your life. You know, we're going to talk about the sweetness of marriage tonight because our guests are a married couple. And we're going to talk about the fact that, you know, sometimes, of course, every marriage faces challenges. But when a marriage begins with pressure and challenge, and yet survives for the long haul, I think that is a truly an inspiring story, and it's just such a story that we're going to bring to you tonight. As we do regularly, we bring you guests from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign Speakers Bureau, and tonight we're going to be talking with Linda Raymond, who is the Silent No More Regional Coordinator for Missouri. Her involvement in pro-life work includes volunteering for the Coalition for Life in St. Louis, and also co-directing her parish's Respect Life Committee. She's participated in the March for Life in Washington, the March for Life in the Midwest, and the Walk for Life in San Francisco, spoken at numerous events over the years, including the Missouri Right to Life Banquet, 40 Days for Life, Commemorate and Commit Banquet held by the St. Louis Archdiocese, and she's going to be joined tonight also by her husband, Chuck Raymond, and we'll tell you a little bit more about Chuck's story as we introduce him as we go along tonight. But Linda, welcome to the program. It's so nice to have you with us here tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Good evening, Kim, and all the listeners out there. And Chuck and I are actually celebrating Valentine's Day this weekend in Phoenix, Arizona. So thank you so much for having us on the show.
I imagine it's a little colder back home in your territory of St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes. We were just listening to the weather report for tomorrow with our flight going home. We're thinking that we're going to have quite an interesting adventure tomorrow getting home. So we'll see.
And so did you say how long you've been married?
We have been married this May. It will be 34 years for us.
Wow. And you've built a family and
Yes, we have two grown children, and they're both married, and they both live within 5 mile radius of us, so that's very, very pleasant and very, very sweet this Valentine's Day. And we have three grandchildren with one on the way, so total of four there.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Within 5 miles, you must have done something right that they all wanted to stay close.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a small miracle. I would call that a Holy Spirit moment for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Linda, so tell us the story. We know that you are a Silent No More speaker, so we know that you have an abortion in your background, if not more than one. I never want to make assumptions about someone who's willing to share about an abortion experience, because we know so many people have experienced more than one. But as we get started, tell us about what happened in your case and in your relationship with Chuck.
Okay. Actually, it was back in 1976, and Chuck and I were both teens. I was actually beginning my college career. I was my first year of college, and Chuck was finishing his senior year in high school. And when I became pregnant, and of course, as an 18-year-old young lady, that's quite a panic situation when you're beginning your college career. And I have to just explain it as a feeling of temporary insanity. Like, what do? You know, this was totally unexpected, unplanned, and very scary. We both had, you know, as I said, I was already in college. Chuck actually had already gotten an appointment to the United States Military Academy at West Point. So he had a big college career on the horizon. I had gone to Planned Parenthood and had my positive pregnancy test and came out of there, like I said, totally in shock, panic, and came and told Chuck right away. And, you know, of course, we didn't want our parents to find out. It was just a huge, huge, just a scare, really, honestly. Went to our parents found out, and they had never met each other. We had been dating probably a year and a half by then. Our parents had never met each other, although Chuck had been close with my parents, and I had also been close with his parents and his family, but our parents had never met. So it was almost a surreal moment when the parents met each other over this abortion decision. And with, like I said, with both of us in college and being young and not having a lot of support there, we were all kind of sucked into the lie that Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers, the rhetoric that they suck you into is, you're not carrying a baby, you're carrying a blob of tissue. So pretty quickly we, without a lot of, you know, support from anyone else, no other options available, went ahead and had that abortion, and have lived to regret it almost daily since then.
And so then you both just carried on with your academic careers and Chuck in the military.
Yes. I went through many, many decades of just emotional turmoil, distance from my faith and my relationship with God, emotional trauma, depression, years of counseling and medications, trying to figure out what it was. It was just kind of just preventing me from just enjoying my life and just getting on with my life, as I was told, you know, at the abortion facility. You know, you can have this done, one quick appointment, and you're on your way. And then Chuck, I'm going to let Chuck chime in with how this all affected him.
Yes, Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having us.
You, of course, it's our pleasure. We know a little bit of the story of what happened in terms of the circumstances of the pregnancy, but tell me a little bit more about your background and what we need to know about Chuck Raymond today.
Okay, thanks. I was raised in a good, decent family, but we were, you know, we were Catholic, but we weren't really that strongly practicing, you know, the faith at that time, and it wasn't really a regular part of our lives. And you know, Linda and I had a relationship that just wasn't grounded in, you know, in how God would have us respect the dignity of each other's bodies. And you know, when she became pregnant, then we were in shock. And you know, as she mentioned, I was, you know, just pending an appointment to go to West Point. And one of the key factors in this abortion decision was the fact that you can't be married or have any dependents to be a cadet at West Point. And so, you know, unfortunately, that's that you know was a you know a part of the decision, and you know we regret that our parents, all four of them, you know, pretty strongly you know led us to that, you know, the thinking they were doing you know what's best for us, but and it was. You know, that was in January of 76, and it was that June that I left to go into the Army. And again, eventually, you know, I went to West Point and graduated. So we, you know, not only went through this, but within 6 months after that, you know, I left town and was basically gone, you know, except for, you know, two or three times a year away. And, you know, just by, you know, amazing, the miracle, I think, that you know, we held our relationship together after that abortion, and basically, you know, saw each other, wrote letters almost every day, and kind of gutted through it, and we're blessed to get married 5 years later.
Well, statistically, you are absolutely have beaten the odds. Mm-hmm. The statistics say that most relationships will not survive an abortion, whether married or unmarried, beforehand. And so that's a testament to your character, Chuck, because I think it's often the man who is the one who moves away from the relationship, if you will, after an abortion. I don't want to generalize. Everybody's story is different, and everybody's heartache is real. It doesn't have anything to do with statistics. But tell me about, you know, here you were, and I think this is a question that is probably on the minds of people who have not experienced abortion, who may be listening tonight. You're obviously very bright, both of you, and yet you're pregnant. Were you using birth control?
Actually, Kim, it's just so crazy. Like Chuck had mentioned, we had not been respecting each other's bodies and just not knowing what God's plan is for sexuality, and got caught up into a physical relationship, and that one act of sexual intercourse unprotected was what, you know, ended in our pregnancy, resulted in a pregnancy. So,
wow. And you know what? It happens. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that story.
Oh, my goodness, and, yes.
And, you know, and in my case, I was 23 years old, and I was smart enough to know better, but I was using birth control, which failed. And the reason why I asked that question is that, you know, I will often hear people who are Christian, who have a strong sense of the pro-life worldview, and they'll say it's, you know, as simple as keeping your legs closed if they want to be crass about it, or they'll say something about, you know, the use of birth control, not realizing that one simple act of irresponsibility or trying to be responsible and use birth control, as culture tells us, is the responsible thing to do. These don't protect us. These behaviors absolutely do not protect us. The majority of women who abort have had a birth control failure. So I just want—I appreciate you sharing that part of the story, sharing all of the story. This is, you know, of course, very personal information, but of course we speak, and I know you do, for the benefit of others, that they might learn from our experiences. So, Chuck, as that separation occurred, it sounded like the two of you were very determined that you were going to remain committed to one another. And after a short break, I'd like to have you talk about that and about how knowing what had occurred affected you as you were pursuing your success. But it's time for a short break, and so we'll do that and then return with Chuck and Linda Raymond tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio. Our phones are open if you'd like to join us. We're live, 800-811-3003. We'd love to hear from you.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Tonight we're talking with Chuck and Linda Raymond. Linda is regional coordinator for the Silent No More Awareness Campaign for Missouri, and together they share their testimony of being impacted by abortion and also the healing that they have received through their faith and through the love of the community, people who are also healed and have helped them back to the path of wholeness. And Chuck, before the break, we heard your story of participating in the abortion, age 17, trying to protect your appointment to West Point. And we mentioned that not many marriages will survive an abortion experience. And I think part of the reason for that is because there's such an uneven level of grieving between men and women after an abortion. For women, for many women, there's very much of an experience of unreality once the abortion's over. Was there really a baby there? And I can only imagine that for men, even being once more removed but not having the bodily experience of the pregnancy, there can be this almost a sense of unreality about what's occurred. Help us connect with your emotions as a young man in the aftermath of abortion, knowing that you wanted to pursue and continue the relationship with Linda.
Yeah, Kim, we had, as Linda said, we had been dating for a year and a half, and had the previous summer committed to each other. That it was part of the trauma of being very close and in love, and then this idea of me going away to West Point for 4 years, which is so crazy that we had really gone through the agony and the discussion of what are we going to do? Should I not go? Should I go? And we had very firmly committed to each other that we would stay together, that I would go to West Point, and then we'd get married after that. So we were just maybe your dream high school sweethearts. But at the point of the abortion, I felt very helpless, very ashamed, very selfish, and kind of stunned. I just didn't know what to do. And after that time, once we walked out of that abortuary, Kim, there was a complete silence. We did not speak of it at all. We just pretended like it didn't even happen. There was certainly a sense of relief, I think, from both of us. Linda can speak about immediate trauma that she had, but for me, I'd have to admit, is cold-hearted as it sounds, there was a sense of relief and kind of an unspoken agreement that we weren't going to talk about it. It was overdone. We did what we had to do, and we'd stayed firmly committed in our love relationship right till the time that I left to go to school, and that's how it was. It took me many, many years, I think, to really soften my heart and recognize what buried grief and trauma that Linda had gone through and continued to go through. I just didn't see it. We didn't speak about it at all. It never came up. The idea of going into the Army and being a cadet at West Point and being in a very disciplined, rigorous, fast-paced environment almost fit, I think, my coping, of completely shutting it out and kind of just being this tough military guy and not letting emotion get into the equation, and this deep dark thing just never creep back in. So that was really what I experienced for many years after the abortion.
Well, and I can relate to that, and I know that when I entered into that abortion decision, career was what I was trying to protect now that my fiancé refused to accept the pregnancy. And I've told that story many times, and I also need to say that there has been forgiveness between the two of us that God has worked out. And so I don't want to be speaking ill of him, but at the time, he just was not prepared to become, to parent a father, to parent a child. And so I just threw myself into career with a vengeance. I mean, I better make this work, because I had that failure and the secret in the back of my mind. And I wonder if that dynamic was in play that also just kept you distanced from it.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a very deep-seated degree of loyalty and responsibility to each other that was as the result of this child that we conceived together. I think that was just, you know, again, that was, I think, God helping us to, you know, use that in a positive way, even though it wasn't recognized, to stick it out, to kind of, you know, confirm or fulfill this plan that we had, especially, you know, even though, you know, we had aborted the child in the process of it. It is extremely rare, extremely rare for us to have made it through that and get gotten all the way, you know, 5 years later to get married.
Amen. And, you know, so Linda, you started to share about how the abortion impacted you emotionally. And I want to talk about, you know, you mentioned the shame and you mentioned, you know, the difficulty that it presented in trying to merge as a family with the respective parents. Talk a little bit about how your healing began and what changed for you when things began to get better.
Okay. First of all, like Chuck said, we kind of squashed the whole thing and didn't want to talk about it, so we never brought it up. So that manifested itself into many, many years of depression, anxiety. I suffered with sleepless nights, nightmares, the whole gamut that you hear about with other post-abortive women and men. Had to go through several different medications to quell the depression and boost the anxiety. I want to say 2004, we were sitting watching the March for Life on EWTN, and our son was at the march that particular year, and we were watching, and back then they had a like an ad scrolling across the bottom of the television that talked about Rachel's Vineyard retreat weekend. And I thought, you know, and it said, you know, are you hurting from an abortion? You know, call 1-800 and with the Rachel's Vineyard. And that's kind of where our healing journey began, because shortly thereafter, Chuck and I attended Rachel's Vineyard weekend and really, really, for the first time, were able to just really get all the way to the wound. And I liked your analogy before, you open it up, open that wound up and let that healing in to start beginning to heal your heart and your brokenness. And then I know so many other women struggle with, you know, that you can go through that weekend and you can go through there's so many other good healing, abortion healing programs out there. But I think one of the things that women struggle with the most, and much like myself, you can let God in and know that He has forgiven you and healed your heart and your soul and poured His mercy and forgiveness on you. But my biggest thing was to forgive myself. So I struggled with that. But so we went to the Rachel's Vineyard weekend, and that was the first step in that path and that journey to healing. And then shortly thereafter, I guess in 2007 was the first time that I went to the March for Life. Chuck had been going for a couple of years prior to that on his own and been really, really moved by the women and the men that he heard on the steps to the Supreme Court building after the march, with their, you know, giving their testimonies. But he used to share that he was just scared to death, you know, just kind of hiding in the shadows, listening to these other brave souls up there bearing their hearts. And wishing that someday he could do the same thing. And in 2007, we actually went, and I had been in touch with the Silent No More program up until that point and submitted my testimony with them and spoke with Georgette Forney and Janet Moran and Father Frank. And they invited us to come and be there and give our testimonies. And that was another huge step forward in our healing journey. And meeting all the other women and men that are there and just feeling that support and love from God. And then from there, we've gotten involved in several pro-life ministries in the St. Louis area, to include our parish, you know, a smaller parish ministry with Respect Life. And then we've spoken at many different events and just helped out with a little bit with Thrive and the Coalition for Life. Several other pro-life entities that have really helped so much. And that's kind of the broad spectrum. But I really feel in my heart that the way that I can help and touch others in that very personal way is after Chuck and I have spoken at a banquet or a gathering or whatever it is, having that individual man or that individual woman come up to us and thank us and admit their own sin to us and thank us for sharing and mm-hmm. just be able to have that hug and feel God's arms, loving arms wrapped around all of us and telling us that he has forgiven us. And I think that's where the real healing takes place within my heart.
Mm, I think that is so well said, and I absolutely agree. And I think that for anybody listening tonight, you can consider this your invitation. Linda just talked about seeing a scroll on the television. Are you hurting? That's an invitation that she received from Rachel's Vineyard electronically through the television while she was watching news coverage of a march in Washington, D.C. For me, there was a small mention in the bulletin of my church, week in and week out. And there also, as you may have heard in my story, there was a person who approached me and simply spoke the truth. Just as Linda is saying, you know, when she speaks, people come forward. Consider this your invitation tonight, that you can share your story too. We're here for you. 800-811-3003. Of course, you can speak anonymously. If you're not ready to do that, if you're not ready even to ask a question and join the conversation tonight, please at least go to cradlemyheart.org and look on the sidebar for the list of all of the resources that are out there. Perhaps you've heard about Rachel's Vineyard and you thought that particular program isn't what you're looking for, but there is one for you. I promise you that. Consider this your invitation tonight. Time again for another short break, and then we'll continue. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Please join us, 800-811-3003.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
I had a joy and privilege today to speak in front of our Sunday school class at our church for Sanctity of Life lesson that was part of our regular workbook that we were working our way through. And the writer of the textbook approached this issue of abortion as really bearing false witness, as a breach against the commandment of bearing false witness, Exodus 23, because, as they pointed out, abortion is based on lies. It's based on, as our guest tonight, Linda Raymond, said, the idea that it's just a blob of tissue. And so many women swallowed that lie, as did I. But beyond those lies, that the individual people who are in desperate straits and terrified of what it means to be pregnant at whatever their tragic circumstance may hold. Beyond that individual, there are lies that we as a culture have bought into. And part of our mission here at Cradle My Heart Radio is to break through those. And there's just a, before we resume our visit tonight with Chuck and Linda Raymond, Linda is Silent No More regional coordinator for Missouri, I want to just briefly touch on a news story this week about what's happening in Ireland. Because when we've had guests on this program, Rebecca Kiesling in particular comes to mind. Rebecca was a product of rape. And her mother gave birth to her before Roe v. Wade made abortion legal. And when I asked her what she feels about this rhetoric that the abortion lobby puts forward that says, if there's no choice, then women will be forced into birth. I said, what do you think about that, Rebecca? And she said, well, that's absolutely what happened with my mother. She no more wanted me than you know, anybody would imagine that she might have after being raped by a stranger. But Rebecca said, I wasn't born because I was wanted. I was born because I was protected. And in Ireland right now, the Attorney General has ruled out abortion in cases of fetal abnormalities. You know, these are the hard cases around the edges of the truth of abortion. And not only rape and incest, but what about fetal abnormalities? Well, the Attorney General in Ireland, Mayor Whelan, has categorically ruled out abortion in Ireland in cases of fatal fetal abnormalities. The Cabinet received legal advice on the issue last week ahead of a vote on a new bill, and that was ultimately defeated. The margin is 104 votes to 20. A report in the Sunday Business Post says the advice given by the Attorney General states that where a baby is capable of being born alive, it is quite clear that Article 40.3.3 is engaged. That's, in their law, a protection of the unborn child. It relates to a provision of the Eighth Amendment of the Irish Constitution, which guarantees the equal right to life of the unborn. And the newspaper reports say the advice, which it has seen, leaves no room for doubt that the bill proposed to allow abortion in the case of fatal fetal abnormalities, it leaves no doubt that that proposal is in conflict with the Constitution because it removes an equal right to life of the unborn. Ireland seeing its way through the abortion industry, but there is great clarity in that story. And I think that absent such clarity from our lawmakers, absent such ability to say there is an equal right to life of the unborn, it's really difficult for us to ever come to terms with being able to support people in tragic circumstances. Chuck and Linda Raymond, our guest, if you're just joining us, Linda was a freshman in college. Chuck had been accepted into West Point when Linda got pregnant. And, I mean, it's quite a dilemma for the huge accomplishment to be accepted at West Point and then to think about having the maturity to make a choice for the life of the child. And Chuck, you talked about, you know, just barreling through that decision. The Raymonds have been married 34 years. Their relationship survived that decision, and they're thriving. They have grown children and grandchildren, as they told us, if you're just now joining us. But, Linda, for someone listening tonight who's thinking about, you know, these hard cases, tell me about some of the wisdom that you have gained in the last 10 years as God has allowed you the opportunity to speak out. Because, as you say, whenever we speak, we hear others. We hear the stories of others. And in my experience, when I hear stories from people who chose abortion in very difficult circumstances, later they say that, you know, that did not justify the choice. Our hearts still condemn us when we don't do the right thing. Tell me about maybe some of the wisdom that you've gained around the hard cases as you've listened to the stories of others.
I would say that, there's been so many couples, and especially women, that we have come across in our ministries that have had to make those difficult choices. I guess that what I've gained through listening and becoming close with some of these women and some of these stories is that our God is a merciful God. He is a loving God. He reaches out and wants, he's already forgiven us. Once we've reached out to him and asked for forgiveness, and I learned this, that he's been there for us and he wants to heal. He wants to bring us back into the fold. He wants us to go on and let us know that our children are there in heaven waiting for them, waiting for us when we die and pass on, and if we make it to heaven, and hopefully we will, that we will be reunited with those children in heaven. I feel like there's so many women and men that just won't allow to forgive themselves. They just won't allow that. And I think that if a woman and a man that are regretting their abortion and suffering so many years of pain and guilt and shame that come along with that abortion, I just would advise them to reach out for healing. And like you mentioned, there are so many good healing programs out there. Go to any of the websites. You can actually just Google or do some research on abortion healing, and there's so many things that will pop up. And just, I would say, if there's someone that's out there that's hurting, just reach out for help. tell someone. There's you know, go to your church, your synagogue, wherever your groups, your social groups are. You're going to find help out there somewhere. The internet is a great resource.
And Chuck, how would you respond? Because I know that you've shared with me the fact that you have been outside of abortion facilities doing sidewalk counseling. That's tough duty. To me, that's some of the toughest pro-life work that is out there. There are so many people who will pass by that you won't reach. There are so many difficult circumstances that God might be calling you to get yourself involved in. Tell me about the wisdom that you've gained in your journey.
Well, one of the things that I learned, and I shared earlier, that you know, my immediate response had been to harden my heart, and that's my shout out to men is that you allow God to come into your hearts if you've been involved in an abortion or had your child aborted against your will, which sometimes happens, is to let your heart out of prison, to know that God loves you and He's there to forgive you and help you to find that healing. One of the things that, another thing that just has blown me away in my involvement with the Silent No More and in being able to talk with many, many other women is that the wounds that they have from their relationships with the father of their baby and many times men in general is just heartbreaking. And it really moves me how much they come to me and just appreciate a man speaking of regret and sorrow and apology for their participation in the loss of a child. And I've come to believe that many who've had abortions, and obviously there's untold millions that we suffer from that loss unless we're blocking that out and kind of crushing it with an ability to cope. And I've just come to believe that a love of a mother for her baby is placed into her heart by God, and then that baby can never be ripped away without a permanent wound and a devastating wound to the mother. And that wound is there forever, and the problem is certainly not solved. But as Linda said, that God never gives up on us. He is always there to love us and welcome us and bring us back. And the thanks be to God, there's just so many different resources that are out there that can help us to find that mercy and healing.
When we come back, we're going to get into some of the details about what to expect if you would choose to go to a Rachel's Vineyard retreat or Project Joseph, which is a program for men that Chuck has participated in. Stay with us. We're approaching our final segment tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
So often our conversations here on Cradle My Heart Radio circle back to a post-abortion support group, healing retreat, some kind of a program where you are able to take the time in a safe place to process the experience. And as we close our conversation tonight, I want to just share some of the descriptive details about what these programs involve, because thinking about talking about the experience can be one of the most terrifying things imaginable if you are still bound in the shame and the hurt and the pain of not being able to discuss the abortion experience with anybody. And even if you already have received a degree of healing, if you know that God forgives you and you believe that, as Linda has been talking about forgiving yourself, you sense that that's not really a problem for you. You're not even sure you would need to go through such an experience. I mean, I think that described me before I actually went to the Bible study that I attended. I hope you would keep your mind open to it, because it's such a gift and such a blessing. But to say that doesn't really describe it. In my case, the program that I attended was called Conquerors in Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's a program that's unique to that area, although there's a video curriculum now, I believe, that it can be used anywhere. But it was a 9-week course examining the experience from an emotional and spiritual point of view. So we looked at Bible scripture, but we also looked at the emotional dynamics. The program was written by a professional psychotherapist who was qualified to help us work through the emotions in a safe way in a peer facilitated group. The group wasn't run by counselors. It wasn't therapy, but the counselors were trained as to how to properly engage us and how to keep the group a safe experience for everyone as each one shared in the story of her experience. And it involved talking about it. It also involved doing a lot of writing. Going through some healing exercises that engaged our emotions, and yes, a memorial service at the end of the experience to be able to give honor and dignity to the children that we had lost as we gave them names and eulogized them as you would for a memorial for any lost loved one. It's not some strange ritual that anybody is trying to keep secret. But I think that that's maybe the best way that I could describe what I went through. Let's have a thumbnail sketch from you, Linda, about what Rachel's Vineyard is and the description of what the weekend is like. And then Chuck will give you also the chance to give a brief description about the group that you went to specifically for men called Project Joseph. Linda, if you'll first tell us about the couples retreat for Rachel's Vineyard.
Well, Kim, I love your description that you just gave of the retreat or the program that you went through, and I love the way that they parallel each other with Rachel's Vineyard. It's very similar, and I think that that's probably why they're so successful. But you arrive on the weekend on Friday evening, and the thing that I really like about it is the retreat is given by most of the women and men that are post abortive of themselves. So they really, really know and understand your broken heart, your broken spirit, where you're at when you arrive at that place to check in and become a retreat participant. And you work your way through that weekend doing a lot of, like you said, a lot of journaling. You write a letter to your baby. You write a letter to the people that were involved in your abortion, telling them your feelings. And these letters are things that, and I cannot remember, but I don't think that you actually ever give them to them, those people, but that's not really important. You're allowed to just get those expressions out, those feelings, those emotions onto paper. There's a lot of scriptural parallels and exercises that they take you through. And I think I want to emphasize the safe and loving environment that you go through. It's a very good way to do it because you're there for 3 days and you have no other distractions. You can really get at all the way down to the root of the wound of this abortion and just open it wide up and allow God to come in and heal you and forgive you. And at the end of the weekend, there is, like you had mentioned, a memorial service where you name your baby and you eulogize that child and you really make that child a part of your family, literally. That child becomes, and you honor that child as a part of your family and as a beautiful child of God that has gone on to be in God's loving arms. I just can't tell you that I felt like my connection with God was starting to be healed by that particular weekend, and I was able to reach out and really know His love and His forgiveness after my Rachel's Vineyard weekend. It was extremely healing.
And I think, yeah, thank you. And there are some very striking parallels. The big difference, of course, is that's a weekend versus something that unfolds over several weeks. Some Bible studies are 9 weeks, some are 12. Hope Alive, Janet Morana was telling us, I think is a very intensive, extended program that goes for some matter of months. Mm-hmm. So it's all a matter of what, you know, works in your schedule and what resonates best with you. But as you said, you know, almost all of them are engaged by people who have had an abortion, so they have a firsthand knowledge of some of the emotional dynamics, knowing that everybody's story, of course, is different. But Chuck, tell us about Project Joseph. I'm not familiar with that particular program, and I know that the many men who are listening would want to know about it.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah, I think just to back up just a moment. I appreciate that you are helping to share with listeners the many varied types of programs that are out there. And Linda and I had participated in a different program that was one-on-one with a counselor once a week. And for us, that just didn't quite get the job done. And it was this Rachel's Vineyard retreat that she and I actually went on together, and both of us experienced that profound healing at that time. The Project Joseph program is fairly new. In fact, there was a deacon in our local Catholic Church Respect Life office was looking for some kind of a program to offer to men. And they contacted me, and we kind of learned as we went and developed this program that is operated in St. Louis. It's a small group sharing a program that is not it's not professional counseling, but it's a safe place for a small group of men to get together and talk and work through those wounds and those layers of woundedness that are in there. We currently use a book that's written, a Bible study that's called Healing a Father's Heart, and there's a companion program written, Forgiven and Set Free. You're probably familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very thorough emotional, psychological, and scriptural movement. We meet over a 9-month period, once a month on Mondays, and each chapter has a pretty extensive set of scriptures and thoughts and meditations and places to take notes. And when I went through it, having been through many other healing efforts, that I found myself, and again co-facilitating this with a deacon, in our diocese, that it helped me to discover more things that I hadn't addressed before. Relationships with my father that was involved, relationships with my kids, and things that I had no idea were. In fact, the Silent No More campaign is calling it this year an emphasis on talking about the shockwaves, all the different things that come into play after in other people that are affected by an abortion. But this Project Joseph, again, is a small group effort guided by a Bible study that allows us to, again, in a safe manner for men to explore and kind of talk with each other and help each other through mm-hmm. the unique experiences that we've had.
Okay. Well, we are up against time, and so we did have a listener question off the air, and it has to do with telling your children. Because as you mentioned, Linda, this is a member of your family that you commemorated. So what I'm going to do is when we close out the program here, if you two will stay on the line with me, we'll have an answer for that question that we'll try to put on the blog this week. And I appreciate you so much for joining us, both of you, tonight, especially for taking time out on your romantic getaway for your Valentine's Day weekend to help encourage those whose marriages have also been impacted by abortion. Chuck and Linda Raymond, thank you so much for being our guests tonight.
Thank you, Kim. God bless you for your show and everything you're trying to do to help other women and men. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Linda. And please do stay on the line now, you two, so we can hear your thoughts about the difficult task of sharing the news of an abortion in the past with those who may not have been aware of it as being part of the family story. Coming up next week, we're going to be bringing you another great guest. Go to cradlemyheart.org, and there you will find our program notes, and you'll be able to connect with our community. You can leave us an email that way. Of course, all of our emails are answered by me personally and kept in the strictest confidence, and we guard your privacy as if it were our very own. We tweet on Twitter, so you can find out news stories that we're following and get our program notes as well. So it all starts at our website at cradlemyheart.org. Thanks for listening so much. Please be sure and join us next week. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.